Hello, thanks so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. There are many other consequences of the pandemic that are not made readily available by daily statistics. These include the persistent ill health that continues long after a patient that has contracted COVID-19 continues, which is also known as long COVID or post-COVID syndrome. Dr. Anwar Suhaimi is a consultant rehabilitation physician with University Malaya Medical Center. He's currently leading the COVID-19 rehabilitation service provision at UMMC. Good evening, Dr. Anwar. Thank you for joining us on the show tonight. Let's begin our conversation tonight by perhaps you telling us a little bit more about what rehabilitation treatment for post-COVID-19 patients entail. I mean, based on what you've observed of how post-COVID conditions manifest.
Thank you so much for that. So that's actually a very, very good question. I think a lot of us now know that COVID, the hallmark scene that comes to your mind when you mention COVID is this scene from a war zone with everyone intubated and everyone wearing some sort of a spacesuit, PPE. And that's actually where rehab does start, down in the critical care, the ICU itself. And we follow the patients throughout their recovery into acute wards, where usually they are managed for their respiratory complications. But that is when complications manifest, especially from the reduced capacity to move around without being breathless. And like Prof. Moy mentioned earlier on, as the patient progresses, some of them may manifest much earlier with other non-respiratory or non-lung complications. So these are usually in the form of weakness, in the form of breathlessness, anxiety and depression levels are very high. And of course, much later, either after discharge home or in place in hospitals or in centers where you have rehabilitation, you found that patients are unable to do basic activities of daily living, like grooming and washing themselves and, going to the toilet or even eating without assistance. And this is where long COVID really has an impact on one's function. So what rehabilitation does is really, I think we are blessed in a way that we have got a rear view mirror. We learn from previous experience. And I think the closest experience we have to COVID in terms of the preparedness and anticipation of long COVID was the experience with SARS. So many countries who have had SARS before documented very well how patients who came out from severe respiratory infection had deterioration in function, and with that, the WHO has sort of prepared a patient self-help manual that they actually give to survivors to bring back home. So if you look into the manual, it does state in very, very layperson language that you can prevent complications by doing certain exercises that actually boost your exercise capacity or your aerobic capacity in medical terms. Number two, detection of complication. And this is very important because as the previous speaker mentioned, we are still learning about COVID. Now, of course, there are a lot of difference between SARS and COVID, some commonality. But I think Sharad mentioned earlier on about the preference for central nervous system. And yes, we are finding people who are presenting later with memory problems, mental fog. So detection, not just by the survivors, but the family members, the employers, actually helps. It's very helpful so that we can get the survivors who needs the attention back to medical care.
Sorry, jump in there and ask you a question about the question about why the long COVID is to what extent do we know the contributions of the disease to that or the contributions of, say, treatment? I mean, some patients undergo quite invasive type of therapies, right? Intubation and such.
Yes.
How do you make a distinction between the disease and the treatment or the medication they take in terms of what they suffer from later on?
Yeah, excellent question. So, Prof. Moy was mentioning about following up Category 1 and 2 COVIDs. We are actually following up the high end, the Category 3 and 4, and particularly of my interest with our fellow intensivists is to follow up those who survive ICU care. Now, to answer you, Sharad, really, we can't tell. We are trying to tell, okay? We are trying to tell who are at risk. I can tell you those who have got a background medical problem, more medical problem, those who receive critical care, And the use of certain medications, as you correctly mentioned, the use of things like neuromuscular blockade, steroids, which is unavoidable because these drugs actually help to contain the damage that the COVID does or reaction to of the body's reaction to COVID does. And of course, another thing that I can just throw into the equation is how long a patient just lays in bed. So I think you would know that patients are intubated, they are paralyzed, they are put prone, you know, lying prone, just to facilitate their breathing and whatnot. So the longer we stay in bed or emotionless, we become deconditioned. This is exactly the opposite of what you do, let's say when you go for exercise or a gym, you are reconditioning. So deconditioning is a state where the body integrity begins to break down. And this is a very big thing among rehab physicians because you take a glance on the patient who is deconditioned, they look intact. I mean, there's nothing broken, I think, but they're unable to function because the body breaks down. Like kind of like you don't use it, you lose it. So it's a race against time. The faster we can get these patients to move or breathe in and or use their mental capacity, we hope that it is lesser. And why we say we hope so, because we've seen this in other conditions, SARS for a good example, or many other conditions like stroke, spinal cord injury. Now we're trying to extrapolate. We learn from all these previous patients to apply to COVID. So yes, we are learning the few novel complications that comes up from COVID, but it's not something new to us in terms of managing it from a rehab perspective.
Right. So in terms of rehabilitation services, have you had to adapt to the challenges of long COVID? I know you said there's similarities, but it just strikes me that there's just so many, the range of symptoms of post-COVID syndrome is immense. It seems like there's so many, and it's really difficult because there's no kind of diagnostic test or biomarkers to tell if you've got long COVID. So has rehabilitation services had to change to incorporate all of this, including some of the psychological and mental health symptoms that we've seen?
Yeah. So I remember the study that you mentioned earlier on. There's only one study in Malaysia, which was done by my dear colleague in Sungai Buloh Hospital. They are leading the rehab service and over there. So we at 12 weeks onwards, we found that the top 5 complications were basically shortness of breath, fatigue, insomnia, cough, anxiety, depression, and pain. So right now, this is why we do need to collect. We cannot just use the data that we get overseas. I mean, there are good benchmarks to have an idea of what to get ready. But two questions. What is pertinent in our local population? What is more prevalent? And number two, when does it happen? So for that reason, we are following up, especially the category 3, 4, and 5, which is supposedly the more severe, with the one with the lung involvement. We are following them up for two reasons. Number one, so that we learn in terms of the particular pattern of how and when it presents, and therefore we can make preparations. Now, rehab is not something passive. You can actually adopt prehab, which is a more proactive preparatory sort of approach to rehab, to complications. Of course, we only have about 3 months outcome from a center that's been very busy with COVID. And our data is, we are collecting data, but I think it's a bit too early to speak. But we are noticing similar trend. So we can definitely say those who have got more severe COVID, especially if you've got critical care, longer stay in hospital, more medical conditions that pre-exist before or a lower functioning level before COVID, these are usually the people with higher risk of getting complications. And of course, it is evolving.
What's fascinating, because what's troubling, of course, is the magnitude of the need that will arise from, the epidemic as it unfolds. So we're looking at 10% of those who have recovered, as Dr. Moy noted, it's like 60,000 people. Do we have the facilities and also the costs involved? If it's a long, drawn-out process, how will cost be dealt with? And, is our public health system in any position to deal with that?
Yep. Now, as devastating as the long list, the list tried to be as inclusive as possible, and as devastating as how the picture that Prof. Moy did paint, which is, I agree with her, the actual price that we're paying from COVID is, number one, if you survive COVID, number two, you can actually have complications that will take away the independent, your functional independence, so to speak, okay? Let alone talking about returning to work and, you know, we're trying to recover from economic crisis, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the key thing that I want to say is, this is why I'm coming here. I want people to realize that it's not over once you leave the hospital. And it's not like, oh, take a break, you know, nothing's going to happen. Be vigilant for survivors, for the family members, for the friends, the employees. Be vigilant. Our people, the survivors of COVID, do need on us notice, you know, because they might not notice. They might say, oh, you know, I've been unwell therefore. So we need to notice and get them in as soon as possible. So in terms of preparedness, I think all the Ministry of Health, the at least the tertiary Ministry of Health centres, do have a very good rehab team. They have got rehab physicians, they have got rehab teams. I know of almost all the teaching hospitals, including some of the private medical centers, do already have a dedicated pathway to manage COVID, long COVID. So we are in a way, not, I wouldn't say we are full force, but we are gearing up as we speak, because we can see the aftermath is coming in. And this is a hidden thing. It will remain hidden as long as we decide to ignore. And this is why I'm coming up and saying, hey, look, do not stigmatize. These people having long COVID, it's not their infectious or anything, but they really need our help to get them together and build, and move on. Yes, sir. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. Take the long view of the epidemic. It's been a year and a half and so on and so forth. Is part of the problem just an unhealthy population? I mean, we know that most of the deaths have come from people with diabetes, for instance. We're a very unhealthy nation of people. I mean, to what extent is that something that we need to address in the long term?
Well, you know, if it's a wake-up call for all of us, Sharad, let it be. I mean, sometimes you just need a good, long, cold shower just to wake you up. if that has been the last 2 years worth of resolution that we've been trying to get on. No, I mean, okay, with all due respect, I mean, nobody plans to get COVID in their life. Okay, let's just put it that way. And this is something that we should have the semangat of being together. You know, it's not, okay, you got COVID, you're on your own. Okay, you go in there alone, you come out alone if you come out alone. I mean, it's enough of, I go into the COVID wards. I see how that, you know, that the loneliness, the despair, that is, nobody asked for this. And the last thing you need is to come out broken, if I can use that word, and people just saying, oh, you know, it's, yes, you've been unwell, so therefore, just, you know, suck it up, move on. No, they actually have complications, and we don't want to leave them out. And when you actually have help, when medical service is there to help, when rehabilitation is there to help. So this is one thing that I really want, you know, despite all the statistics and whatnot. Statistics remain statistics. It will be useless if we've been collecting all this data, but we can't help our people. So that's what I'm trying to get onto.
Right. Thank you so much, Dr. Anwar, for bringing some awareness to recognizing and detecting long COVID symptoms. Thank you for that. That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. We've just been speaking to Dr. Anwar Suhaimi, a consultant rehabilitation physician with University Lane Medical Center. Thank you for watching the show tonight. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off the evening.
Thank you so much for watching, and good night.
Good night.